Welcome to Tara's Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're so glad you decided to join us. Last time we were in the parable of the minas, and we just really, it really touched my heart about, am I being a good steward with, you know, what God has given me so that I can go out and proclaim His word. And so today we're going to continue. We're going to be in Matthew 21, 23 through 32, and on, it'll be about Jesus' authority. And also, Lord, we just, you'll be telling us all about the parable of the two sons.
You know, this has a lot in it. And in order to help us to get it, we did do the parable of minas. But what we have to understand is this particular chapter deals with the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. And so this is something they've seen. They have watched him walking in and the waving of the palm branches, people shouting out, you know, Hosanna, save us, save us. It also has the situation where the temple, he goes in and he is angry because they are abusing what the purpose of the temple is. They're selling the birds and the sacrifice animals, and just they've made it into a place of a marketplace instead of a place of worship. And so all of this will be in the minds of the people, having just watched this, as we see what occurs in this conversation with the chief priests and the elders, and then in him telling the parable of the two sons. So I want that in our minds as we think about this. So in Matthew 21, 23 through 32, it tells us that Jesus had walked into the temple courtyard and he was starting to teach when the chief priests and the elders of the people, they went up to him and they said, "So what gives you the right to do these things? And who told you that you could do this?" Jesus answers them, "Well, I have a question for you. If you can answer it for me, then I'll tell you the answers to these things." And he asked them, "Did John's right to baptize come from heaven or from human?" Oh, the chief priests and the elders, they stepped aside and they began to talk among themselves. "Well, if we say it's from heaven, and then he'll ask us, then why didn't we believe him? If we say it's from man, they'll, you know, we can't do that because we're kind of afraid of the crowd. All those people think that John is a prophet." And so then they went to Jesus and they're like, "We don't know." And Jesus said, "Then I won't tell you why I have a right to do these things."
Right.
So Jesus then looks at the disciples and he says, "What do you think about this? So there was a man and he had two sons. He went to his first son. He said, 'Son, go to work for me in the vineyard today.' His son said, 'I don't want to.' But later he regretted what he said and he went and he did it. And then the father went to the other son and he said to him the same thing. And he said, 'I will.' But he never went. Which of these two sons do you say the father did the will of the father?" Well, everyone there said, "Of course, the first." And he says, "I can guarantee you this truth, that tax collectors and prostitutes will be in the kingdom of God before you." See, John came to show the way, the way that God wants us to wants you to live, but you did not believe him. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, they believed him. But even after you had seen that, you didn't change your minds and you didn't believe." May God honor the telling of his word. Okay, we need to start. This is like, wow. Seriously, there's so much material on this that it's crazy. And so I had a ton of questions that God gave me that would be good things for us to discuss. But first off, I just want to hear from y'all. What's the first thing that comes to mind as you've heard this passage? I mean, just as you're thinking about it, what's on your heart?
My first thing was, you know, there's so much, you know, you always hear that, whatever, cliche, action is better than words or stronger than words. You know, it's so easy to say something but not follow through.
Right. Oh, yeah, it is true. Anybody else? What's on your heart?
I love how Jesus compared, well, the people that he was talking to, whether it's the disciples or the Pharisees and teachers of the law, to tax collectors and prostitutes.
I love how he always asks a question. When they ask him, he always asks them a question. I love that.
I do,
comes back with the question.
I do, too. Tanya, what comes to your mind?
I think with the
religious leaders of the day, just how cowardly they are, and not willing to speak the truth, even though they knew it, but just having to keep, I don't know,
it's kind of like
making everybody happy.
Like today,
they're
politically correct.
Yep. Yeah. And that, I was reading in William Barclay, I mean, he really just slams. He said, they're cowards.
Yeah.
He just, it's like, they are nothing but a coward. Because they were afraid to own truth in the moment. And so the deal is what we have to recognize, the reason why they would be viewed as a coward is, this was, and I only know this because this reading it in commentaries, not because of the text. The text tells us chief priests and elders. But the commentators reference the Sanhedrin specifically. But either way, the religious priests and the chief priests and the elders, the purpose of a priest and an elder is to be able to discern false teaching. That is one of their most important roles, is to be able to say this is truth or this is not truth, so that people could walk in the truth. And they're not getting it right. And so ultimately what they came, and we've seen this over and over and over again, every time we have studied a passage of Scripture, they have come in to test Jesus. And ultimately, reality is that it's a revelation of the test of their own heart. And isn't that the case? I mean, any situation where I find myself in a, where my heart is out of whack, right?
Right.
That I can immediately take my finger and I can go and I can point. But I have learned through the years that before I say or before I do anything, I better examine what's going on in my own heart before I say anything.
Yeah.
And I have never had a single circumstance, even when I have been horribly offended, where I didn't find sin in my own heart in the circumstance. I cannot say that I am so pure that I don't sin. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, today I was reading a devotional, and of course it was on pure heart. And it said, God expects purity of motives, not perfection of action.
Exactly.
It means when you do something wrong, you want to make it right.
Exactly.
And that was what the first son did. You know, he wanted to make it right.
Right. This is
my motive. Heart motive. I have to question myself way too many times. Why am I doing this? Is it for God or is it for me?
Yeah. Or even if it's a circumstance where I haven't done anything and something's done to me.
Yes.
The response of my heart.
Yes.
I know I have to do confession.
Right.
Because just the response of my heart will not be in a Christ-like manner.
Right. Because you're angry or bitter or something. Yes.
Right. Or a revelation of pride. Mm-hmm. I think that's my number one.
I think we all have that one.
I've been really pondering, and I may have shared this last time on the radio, and I'm going to share it again because I think it's profound. If I didn't share it, I can't recall. And so, Sandy, you can let me know if I did or not. But I've been really thinking about heart motives, heart thoughts, and that it really falls into two categories when we're under the thought process of discerning where are my thoughts. And there's the sinful heart thoughts. A sinful heart thought is a situation kind of like with Achan. I know what the will of God is. I'm not allowed to take the idols. We're supposed to destroy everything of Jericho. But I saw it. I wanted it. I took it. It didn't matter what was told to them, you know, that was laid out for them. He knew what God's will was, but he wanted his way, no matter what.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Whereas a sinful dart thought is a thought process that is happening when I'm in pursuit of God. I'm wanting God's will. I'm desiring to be in his path. I am seeking him out. I am praying and I am surrendering. And a thought comes in and I deal with it. I think, and so often the struggle that we have is that we'll think because I'm dealing with sinful dark heart thoughts that I'm actually dealing with sinful heart thought. And there's a difference because it's a revelation of what's inside the heart. The two brothers, one was like, oh, no way, but he went back. The other was, yes, I will. and he didn't go. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, regulating in our thought process, why would I do that, reveals whether or not I'm in one category or the other. Mm. And so trying to help people process, where mm-hmm. is it at? Because how it's dealt with is totally different. Mm-hmm. In the case of the chief priests and the elders, they needed to repent. Mm-hmm. Because a sinful heart thought can only be dealt with through repentance.
Right.
That's it. It can't be dealt with any other way. Whereas if a person's dealing with fiery dart thoughts, you deal with what's going in your heart, your thoughts, in your mind, the attack. But it's not because your heart is trying to be sinful. You right. deal with the attack with the Word of God, confronting what God says about the situation, the circumstances, using principles of God. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
How are you saying dart? How do you spell it? D-A-R-T?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does it sound like I'm saying? I'm kind of dealing with a cold all of a sudden. It's like we got onto the radio and
A new word, a new term that I would to call those, but I like it.
Well, it's a dart. It's like Satan's just shooting those darts.
There's arrows at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Revealing that what's inside in the depth of,
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, coming in, is it coming from within or coming from without? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so here we have this situation, and the religious leaders have come. And this is crazy because here they are, and they're walking up to Jesus, and their sole purpose is to question his authority. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you think that they want to question his authority? What's their goal?
Well, theirs is being, attacked or drawn away from them, mm-hmm. and he's getting some of it.
They're jealous of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They feel...
Yeah, prideful.
Yeah.
They feel threatened.
Threatened, that's the word. Thank you.
Lord, help us. Ah, yeah. Okay. And so in the process of them going and questioning Jesus, they've seen the people as he's walking in the triumphal entry. We can assume that as they were watching the people shouting, Hosanna, mm-hmm. Hosanna, save us, save us. They're wondering, why are they going to him and mm-hmm. not to mm-hmm. us? You know, the questioning of the heart is like, why are they, when we are here, we can take them through the phylacteries and read to them every law mm-hmm. that needs to be known. And yet they're praising Jesus. And so on this case, he's entered back into the temple when they've approached him. Okay, they come up and they're questioning his authority. Jesus asked them a question back. Let's look at this question and let's examine his question back. Why did Jesus ask the question back of them? And the exact words are, he says, I will ask you one question. And if you answer it for me, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Where did John's baptism come from? Is it from heaven or from men? Why did Jesus ask that question?
Well, if they know it's from heaven, then they also should know that Jesus has the authority also. Both authorities were given by God.
Okay, good.
I don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. It'll reveal exactly how they think of Jesus.
Absolutely.
That's the one question.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
He's looking at their, he's looking at them. He knows how they feel, but he wants them to figure it out.
And to speak it.
Yes, okay. And speak it.
Why John the Baptist?
Well, he's the one that prepared the way for Jesus.
Okay.
It was spoken in the word that he has come to.
So I was...
And they would gather, right? Wouldn't they gather? But did any of them enter in and get baptized by John the Baptist? They would be there.
I was
going to
say they were there.
Listen.
Yeah, I wonder if any of them did. I don't know.
Jesus,
Scripture doesn't say
out.
Specifically, but I can't imagine that any of them would have been the ones. I think they would have been the people that are like outsiders, mm-hmm. like watching and looking in. Catherine, I want you to open up. Go to Luke 1, and I want us to read Luke 1:15-17. This is the prophecy that is spoken over John the Baptist, and they would have known this, okay? So I want this to be in our minds so that we can really see why John the Baptist. As I was thinking about it, it's like, what would they have known in the realm of and why would he choose John the Baptist to be as part of the question? So I want us to hear what was prophesied. Read for us Luke 1, 15 through 17.
For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom from the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, all of this has been spoken over him to Zechariah when he hasn't even been conceived in the womb.
I love that.
And mm-hmm. you know the story spread rampantly because they were righteous people. Scripture tells us earlier on in the passage that they were mm-hmm. upright, mm-hmm. upstanding, and could not have children, and then they were blessed. Everybody knew what was going on with them. And here we're told, and I started off, as I was going through the list, I started off with that he prepared the way, mm-hmm. as Sandy had said, which is verse 17. But as I was going through and just thinking on the things that was important that Scripture said that the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, the elders needed to, that they knew, it said that he was great in the sight of God. So to say anything against John the Baptist mm-hmm. would be saying something against God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be against God. To say anything against Jesus is against mm-hmm. God. Okay, do you see the parallel that we're starting mm-hmm. to get? The third thing I saw was that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He was divinely appointed for what he was called to do. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He is divine. Yeah. And to question that which is of the divine, we have to think twice before we do that. And so if they can't answer that question, then they don't understand Jesus' authority. You know, that's what it all goes back to. I love this one in verse 116. I have prayed this for many, many years over my own self, asking God that somehow he would allow me to have these three things, to turn many sons of Israel to the Lord. Mm. So all of those people Tanya was talking about that are going to where John was baptizing them, and think of the men in Israel that went and their lives showed transformation because they went back to God. So it was radical. Mm-hmm. That's why people were going in mm-hmm. droves to see him out there baptizing them in the Jordan. And Catherine, we're going to get to see the Jordan. In fact, I was baptized in it. You could be baptized in it when
wow.
we go. And you could be baptized by John, and you can say, I was baptized by John the Baptist.
That's awesome.
That's what Greg likes to say because we did that. And I know, that's funny. But these people went and their lives were radically different, and they're yep. going around into the cities. Mm. And they, as the chief priests and the elders, have seen these people go back to God. Mm-hmm. Then it doesn't just stop there. They don't just go back to God, but because they've returned to God, it says it turns the father's hearts to their children. So these men that had been focused on the marketplace, mm-hmm. had been focused on drink or whatever it is that may have been that took them away from focusing on their children, their focus would have been on them. You know what? You're going to have to come back next week to hear the rest. God bless.